When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to the channel. And as you can see, once again, I'm joined by James Benge of CBS, which means it is Inside Arsenal Extra Time. A little bit different again this week, doing it in the morning rather than in the evening, partly because of timings, but just found out James is not feeling very well as well, which is bad, but he's promised that he's going to strap himself up, get himself through, play through the pain. And yeah, put himself out for us. So how are you doing, James? A little bit under the weather, I hear.
Yeah. Who knows, if this was a few years ago, maybe Arsenal could have got a fixture postponed because I was feeling under the weather. It's been a smart week to be ill. I think all the return of the Champions League football and this never ending February caught up with me. But yeah, hopefully fit and ready for a weekend of high drama and whatever comes on Monday, which hopefully won't be dramatic.
No, hopefully won't. You say never end in February. We are actually in March now. First day of spring. First day of meteorological spring. I don't understand what meteorological is. What? Surely it's just the first day of spring.
Boring.
I don't understand. I just got back from doing a school run and honestly, it is absolutely tipping it down. It did not feel like spring at all. It was one of the... You've got these delights to come a few years down the line, mate, but school runs in the wet are just monstrosities. They're bad enough in the best of times, let alone when it's tipping it down.
My daffodils are coming out because luckily I'm of the age where I can sort of think about my garden. So the daffodils are coming. We've got the blossom in the trees. But yeah, it doesn't feel like spring at all. Although City are in good form, so it must be spring.
They are in good form, but Arsenal are in better form. Aren't they?
They're sensational. I was saying to my editor, who is the sort of guy who, professionally keeps across all the big clubs. And obviously we cover the Champions League. It's our job to be aware of what's happening in every big club. And I said to him, I think Arsenal are the best team in Europe right now. And he was like, you're right, probably, possibly.
Well, I don't think you can argue that right now. I'm not saying they're the best team in Europe, full stop. But right now, I don't think you can possibly argue against it when you look at the numbers.
It's, unless you call Porto.
Undeniable. You see that, I mean, you're an XG nut, I know. The XG of goals conceded since the turn of the year is just mental, like absolutely, or big chances conceded and stuff like that. It's so mad. It's just ridiculous numbers.
0.3 expected goals against per game in the Premier League. I think Galeno's, not the goal, those near misses in the Champions League were about more XG than Arsenal have given up, just those chances in any Premier League game this season. I got a bit of grief when I wrote after the win over Newcastle. I kind of said, look, this can't last.
And people well, it can't. There's no way it can.
Yeah, we're getting Timber back. We're getting Partey back. It's sort of like, yeah, but this is struck gold levels. This is alchemy. And Arsenal, I think, will be, while this back four and the depth they have is there, they will be one of the best defences in Europe week in, week out for years. But that doesn't mean they will be miraculous keeping opponents down to next two or three shots on target. David Raya might as well get a subscription to the Sunday Times for the amount of work he has to do in the net. I don't think that will last, but I think they're going to be a really good defence right the way through this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But there's just, like you said, there's no way you can continue at this sort of levels of shutouts that they're doing. They're just
maybe could on Monday night though.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Although, again, the sort of pessimist in me, I just look at that and I know there is literally on paper with number, there is nothing to worry about that game, and yet I still sit here worrying about it, thinking it's that classic banana skin where everything's going well. I was listening on the school run actually. I was listening on Talk Sport and they were doing the odds for the game. And I think Sheffield United at home were 18-1. And I was just like, oh, this is going to go right. This is going to be so classic Arsenal. They're going to go there and lose, aren't they? But that is a pessimist in me. Obviously, there's no reason that should happen given the form of both sides at the moment. All signs point to another comfortable win. But yeah, I still can't shake the feeling that there's always some disaster just around the corner when it comes to following Arsenal. But right now, I mean, it's...
When Newcastle scored... when Arsenal were 4-0 up, did your mind also immediately go to, no, it couldn't happen again at the Emirates, could it?
It immediately happened. 4-0, especially against Newcastle, will scar me until the day I die. That's never going to go away. So, it immediately came back to me. It was a good goal by Joe Willock, that. Really good header.
Really nice. So it's really 5-0 to Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly. 5-0. Only Arsenal players can score against Arsenal at the moment with this run of form. I mean, we'll talk about Sheffield United in a minute. I was down at Colney yesterday for the press conference, obviously, and Mikel, quite understandably, was in a very good mood, which is no surprise, because if you can't be in a good mood right now, when are you ever going to be in a good mood as Arsenal manager? So we'll talk about what he had to say ahead of the game against Sheffield United. Some good news on the injury front. I mean, for the first time in a long time, Arsenal getting very, very close to having a fully fit squad available. Fingers crossed it stays that way. So we'll talk about that. We've got some questions and comments always, as always, to get involved in. But I wanted to start today's show on Jorginho, who is, Arsenal are sort of planning... We're here to sort of sit down and discuss the possibility of a new contract with Jorginho. A proper new contract, so not on his former terms, actually reward him for his performances with maybe a 1+1, something like that, or maybe a 2+1 type contract. He was sensational again against Newcastle, wasn't he, on Saturday night. I found it really hard watching that game, not thinking, why didn't you play against Porto? Maybe it's just a case that he can't really play at that level every 3 days now, but... it was an absolute masterclass from Jorginho again. And every time he plays at the moment, he seems to get man of the match and play. And just, I mean, does he warrant a proper brand new fresh contract potentially of 2 years and another year's option? What would your thoughts on it be?
Absolutely. And I mean, 2+1 feels a long deal. Correct me if I'm wrong, 32?
I'm just checking 32? Actually. I think he is 32. I'm just double checking. But yeah. He's 33 in December. Oh, his birthday's one day before mine.
Oh, December babies. Yeah. I'm sure he has rubbish Christmases every year. So for that reason alone, give him as many years as he wants. 2+1 immediately feels like a long-term commitment to me. But then you have to remind yourself that, and I spent a year talking about, the real problem with Jorginho is he doesn't have enough pace. Actually, when he's 32, 33... the real joy of Jorginho is he's never had enough pace and therefore will not have to adapt his game pretty much whatsoever as he enters the twilight years. And, when you surround him with dynamic players like Chelsea did when Kante was at the peak of his powers, like Arsenal obviously have with Declan Rice, I think you can mitigate that one issue and those strengths he has. We see someone like, I think he's a different player to Pirlo, but I think there are similarities and that ability to set tempo and rhythm. Pirlo was showing that as he was getting towards 40 years of age. So,
but what's Tony Cruz now over at Real Madrid? How old is Tony
36,
Cruz?
36 and playing the best football. That's a really good point. Playing the best football of his career by all accounts. And I wouldn't be.
No, he's 34.
Is he 34?
34, yeah. I thought that's...
Is it Modric?
Modric is 38, I think.
Well, and Modric probably plays a role. I mean, he does play a role for Madrid that's pretty similar to what Jorginho plays, where, you know, he doesn't play week in, week out, but there is no fear to chuck him in to the biggest games, maybe even if he hasn't played in 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, you know, if I'm Arsenal, I'm probably starting out the offer at 1+1 because you don't want to commit long-term money. You know, with someone at that age, you just don't want to gamble. But, you know,
I suppose the thing there is, and I imagine there will be lots of interest. Well, we've seen his agents talking all the time about interest from clubs in Italy, and I wouldn't be at all surprised, given the pace of football in Serie A at times, that there are Italian clubs that would be willing to offer two plus one or something like that at this age. So I suppose if you want to have a realistic chance of keeping him, you might have to go to what those clubs are throwing towards him.
And I think you have to keep him. You know, we know that Elneny is almost certainly off in the summer. I think whether Arsenal get interest in Partey, that they would be happy to talk about with any interested parties, we'll see. But, you know, you can't plan around Thomas Partey. If he stays, then maybe it means you can't go and buy another midfielder this summer if you've kept Jorginho as well. Maybe you can, like, depends on all the wages, depends what Jorginho wants. He's entitled to a very good contract considering his form. But, you know, right now he's playing at such a high level that he is of immense value to this squad. And whatever his age, you just don't let someone like that walk out. And, you know, Arsenal have the look of a team that's going to be Champions League qualifiers every year that he's at the club. So you can probably eat decent wages for Jorginho, even if you think at the back end of that contract in year two, the Premier League might become a bit too fast-paced for him. And also, like you say, like, you didn't buy Jorginho for 12 million thinking you were going to make a profit on him at all.
No.
You would never make a profit, even if he was 23. We know what Serie A clubs are like. They're not going to offer you a deal that makes you a great profit. He would have takers at the end of year one, I'm sure, unless something goes badly wrong that we can't foresee. So, I would sort of want to get this one resolved quite quickly. I'd be saying to Jorginho, give us a sheet of paper. What do you want to sign? And I wouldn't be looking to change that too radically.
No, I can't really disagree with anything you said. I think he's a must keep. I think I've seen no signs to suggest to him that he's going to suddenly fall off a cliff in the next year or so, even 2 years. I look at some of the players who I compare to him, and, you know, I put sort of Tony Cruz in that, maybe Modric, like you said, those sort of players. And they're just, it's not, yeah, when you're not blessed with pace, when you've never been blessed with pace and you play in that position, it's not, you know, it's just not the worst thing. Since the moment he's walked through the door, we've always said, oh, I wonder if he's got the legs to still do it. And he absolutely has. And like you said, when you've got sort of Declan Rice behind him and Martin Odegaard in front of him at times, I mean, you can't get two more better players to play around a player who maybe doesn't quite have that the sort of the pace that that we often talk about as a central midfielder needs in the Premier League. So no, I think he's a must. And I think what he gives behind the scenes as well, which I know a lot of people don't really care about, but it is really important, especially when you're a young team like Arsenal and an inexperienced team like Arsenal. I think he gives so much to that team on and off the pitch that I think he's absolutely a must keep for me. Would you keep him in the side for Sheffield United?
Oh no. Oh, I don't want to be cavalier about this game. So, I mean, I certainly would not be sort of pictures just popped up there. Thomas Partey off the bench for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Let's not go beyond that because, you know, Arsenal have a relatively favourable run of fixtures. They can ease him in, especially now the Chelsea game has gone. Also, I don't want to do anything that might allow Garner to call him up over the international break.
I don't think Garner are playing. I've looked, there's no fixtures.
Are they not?
No, their next fixtures are in June.
They'll find a way.
They've definitely got none penciled in, Garner. So unless they're planning a camp or something for a week or so, just with a new man, because they've sacked Houghton. I don't know if they've appointed a new manager yet, but yeah, there's nothing penciled in terms of fixtures for them.
Right. Well, I mean that's fantastic news, and all the more of a reason to make sure that, you know, you're not gambling with Partey's fitness now. It should sort of be laser focus on March the 31st, which suddenly looks very real. And very soon,
you've
right
got to
now.
Play him enough, haven't you, before that game?
Yeah,
you've got to play him enough,
it's a balancing act. But I don't, again, like, when Jorginho is playing this well, I think you want to be thinking about Partey at the Etihad as the guy you bring on around the half hour to go mark and just say, let's, you know, whatever the context, because, you know, another shrewd, intelligent player that can adapt the game to the game as it is. So, yeah, very, I would think this might be a game for something a bit that we haven't seen before, like ultra technical. Smith Rowe, Trossard, and you need to keep Martinelli in there, but I think this could be a game for I certainly would see want to see Havertz. There's so many good Arsenal players, I can't fit them all into one team. But let's say a front five of Ødegaard, Smith Rowe, Saka, Havertz, Trossard, like a bit more fluid. I'd be intrigued. I think this is a great opportunity to experiment with things, knowing that if something goes wrong at half time, you've got Gabriel Jesus on the bench, you've got Gabriel Martinelli on the bench, and they would be maybe better suited to playing a tiring defence anyway.
So John here has got in touch and he says he wouldn't change the squad on Monday. It's a winning formula. But then he says, that said, Ramsdale has to play against Brentford in 2 weeks' time. So I'd play Ramsdale against Sheffield United as he needs the minutes. He might not get a touch of the ball, but he was so nervous when he came on last time with no minutes behind him that playing against Sheffield United is a must before he plays a tougher game against Brentford, just to calm his nerves. It's a very good point. I don't think it'll happen. I think David Raya will start against Brentford and against Sheffield United, and Ramsdale will just be thrown in against Brentford. But it is a very good point. He was clearly nervous in that first game. I wonder now if it's all settled down a little bit, the goalkeeping debate, that it might not be quite such a big talking point when Ramsdale came in for the first game. It was obviously a huge talking point because it was still relatively fresh. I think now it has settled down. You know, everyone knows David Raya's the number one. Maybe the spotlight won't be on it so much. And he's at the Emirates, where he's not, you know, at Brentford, he got every time the ball went near him, the fans are on him and making a big thing about it, especially as it was Brentford and the David Raya connection. You know, he's going to get nothing but love, Ramsdale, when he comes out of the Emirates for that game. And so hopefully, I think that might make a little bit of a difference as well. But yeah, in terms of keeping the same squad for Sheffield United, I kind of agree. I'm not sure I'd be playing Jorginho in this one. I like you, I think it could be more of a Smith Rowe type game, like a Nottingham Forest away. He might go down that sort of route. I don't think he needs to balance too much, though, because of that game against Chelsea's being postponed. You know, Arsenal have many matches coming up. So I don't think the need to rotate is that important. But I do look at that game coming up against Porto and think, you know, because I want Gabriel Jesus in that game against Porto. I want Jesus to play Porto. And I wonder if you've got a, you know, even Thomas Partey potentially as well. I don't know yet, but I wonder if Mikel's going to be looking at that Porto game and looking at these two games that are coming up and sort of working out exactly what minutes everyone needs to play to get to Porto to be in the best possible shape. You know, I'm not expecting Jesus to start on Monday night. I'm certainly not expecting Thomas Partey to start on Monday night, but they will get minutes off the bench. And it's just nice to be able to say that, isn't it? Like you there saying, oh, if you start Trossard, suddenly you've got the option of bringing on Martinelli or Jesus. I mean, that is a very nice option to have, and one that just a few weeks ago just felt, you know, like we were never going to get to this point.
And it feels like we've been inching to a point throughout the season of like horses for courses. I mean, Zinchenko as well, again, not someone I would think would play this game. And yet, he's someone that will need to get minutes in his leg, because I think if you're going to beat Porto in a week's time, you need someone that can dictate the rhythm, the players that can, like Jorginho, like Zinchenko, that will keep cool heads. I mean, it's just this optionality, isn't it? Because Jakub Kivior's done absolutely nothing wrong, and I'd feel very at ease about him playing, but maybe you want someone that gives a bit more cut and thrust, and you give 45 minutes to Zinchenko, 45 to Kivior. It is just, it's very, it puts your mind at ease. And I think we underappreciate, because there have probably been bigger injury crises in the Premier League, that Arsenal have really, they've lost these parts that made them ultra interchangeable, and they've just had to sort of keep going through. And they've done that quite well, but it's sort of, it's the reverse of last season, isn't it? Is now that you could see a world where this availability just lets them take that one step up. Who knows if they left themselves too far behind in the first 20 odd games of the season, but it feels like Arsenal are peaking in terms of depth, versatility and overall quality at just the right moment.
Yeah, it's very opposite to what was happening at this stage last season. Now, you were talking about Kivior there, and I thought Arteta was quite interesting on Kivior yesterday. James McNicholas, Gunner blogger, was asking him about him at the presser. The quotes are on screen for people watching now. And he spoke about how, you know, Arsenal made the decision to bring him in earlier than they originally were going to because they felt it needed some time to bed in and stuff like that. And I thought this bit was really interesting where he says, we have made it difficult for him for two reasons. One, because he hasn't played that many minutes. And secondly, because we've asked him to play in a position he's never played before. It's like pulling William Saliba into fullback and saying, tomorrow, perform and do what we have to do. I think he's adapted really well when he's playing better and better. You can tell that he is earning confidence and physically he is better. He understands the role much better and he has been really, really good. And he has been. I think Kivior's been a bit of an unsung hero in the in this run. You sort of go back to the Fulham game where he really struggled at Craven Cottage. He was taken off at half-time. Then Arteta made the sort of tweak that he has with Ben White now playing the inverted role. And Kivior just looks so much more comfortable there. But not just comfortable. I think he just looks... And Mikel said it where he says he's earning confidence. And he just looks a lot more confidence now. You can see just little things that I've noticed. Like in the Burnley game, where I thought he played really well up at Burnley. And he made a couple of blocks... And he was up there sort of celebrating and defending. You know, the Arsenal defenders are doing that a lot now. They're celebrating blocks, celebrating tackles. And I just looked in and thought, I think before Kivior wouldn't have done that. I'm not sure he would have felt confident enough to go up there and sort of chest bump with Gabriel. But now I think he looks like he's got a bit of an aura of a player who feels like for the first time since he's been here, that he actually kind of belongs in this squad. And yeah, I think he deserves a lot of credit because he came over very, you know, quickly. I mean, Mikel said himself, they weren't really planning on it and suddenly they did it. So he probably wasn't thinking it was going to happen in January. And then suddenly you come over here, you don't speak English. You're relatively inexperienced. You know, you've kind of been in Italy a short, short time. Before that, you were playing over in Poland or wherever he was playing. And suddenly you're in the Premier League with Arsenal in a title race. I mean, he had to learn on the job very, very quickly. And I'm not saying he's a long-term option at left-back. I definitely don't think he's the long-term option at left-back, but I think he's showing that he's a really smart piece of transfer business from Arsenal and he's got an awful lot to offer. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for the way he's performing at the moment.
I think because of the nature of Mikel Arteta's squad as well, I don't think Kivior gets much of the allowances that are afforded to other young players because you look at the Arsenal squad and you're like, 24, you should be a veteran. But, you know, I think he's a young 24, like you were saying. His career in top five European leagues was not a lengthy one before he came to Arsenal. And I spoke to people early on in January that were saying, look, it took him a while to feel comfortable in England. I think it's culturally very distinct from the life he's lived before. And I think it was... What was the Italian club he came from again? Remind me.
Spezia, wasn't it?
Spezia.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to pick out a random Italian club and say this, but I think it would be fair to say that when he came, the jump from Spezia to Arsenal Premier League title challenges was a real test for him early on to settle in just to the level of training, not least the Premier League.
And he'd been, sorry, to butt in there, before that, he hadn't been in, Poland, he'd been playing in Slovakia.
I mean,
that was his career, was basically Slovakia, then a couple of years at Spezia, then bang, you're at Arsenal.
It's a huge step up. And I think, you know, like you say, all those things when you don't speak the language, and this is something we need to talk about Timber in the future as well, although he does speak the language of like settling in a new country, finding your rhythm in a squad that is already really well established and there just are not going to be minutes for you. But the one thing I'd say is, I think Kivior's embrace that challenge off the field. All that talk in January about him potentially leaving, there was nothing to it. He wanted to stay. He wanted to fight for his place. We'll see how long that lasts into the future. Like you say, is he Arsenal's long-term answer at left back? Probably not. Is he going to overhaul Gabriel, who, by the way, as the central centre back, looks exceptional? Probably not. And he's a really talented 24-year-old, so we'll see. But, you know, I think he's understood that this is a challenge that can propel his career and he's taken to it. And yeah, not the best inverted fullback stepping into midfield, but most fullbacks couldn't do that, let alone most centre-backs. And I really like him. And I feel like you've got this quartet now for the toughest games defensively that you could trust. Or you could bring Tomiyasu in, or you could bring, when he's fully fit, maybe next season, Timber. It's nice to have optionality, isn't it?
There is loads of options there. There really is. I mean, you talk about Timber.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And, you know, it's fantastic that he's back, that he's training. Still, I imagine, probably what, a month I've got in my head, I would think, before maybe we see him with the first team. I wonder if he might get a couple of runouts when the under-21s. I haven't looked at what their fixtures are like over the next couple of weeks, but I wonder if we might see him get. I think, I mean, Hector certainly did that when he came back from his ACL, didn't he? Hector had a couple of games with the under-21s first, so that would make sense rather than him just going straight into the Premier League squad. Mikel was talking about him yesterday. He said it's been a joy to sort of see how he's handled his recovery, and all the physios and medical staff are really happy with his attitude, his commitment, especially with the way he has gone. It's not a coincidence the way he implies himself, how determined he is, his willingness to put every effort into everything that he's demanded to do, and he's in a really good place. Now we have to manage him because it's the last stage of that difficult injury that is complicated, but I think he's on the right way. I mean, he's right to flag it there, that this last stage, although, you know, it's really exciting to see him in training and back with the squad and actually doing contact stuff. This is such a crucial stage of that injury because you have to get the timing absolutely right. You have to be 100% sure his knee can handle, because it's one thing training. And I know they train, you know, it's really intense when they do training, but it's nothing compared to when you're out on the pitch in the middle of a Premier League game. So they've got to get it absolutely right with year in Timber.
And going at 100%, I think when you speak to people that have had knee injuries, and we've all interviewed people who've gone through something similar to what Timber has, having faith in your knee and that moment when you're thrown into full, whether it's full contact training and then the next stage of the match, is that's a real challenge, because a lot of people, and I don't know how Yuriy Timber feels about his knee, but I know a lot of people that have suffered similar major knee injuries. The big step is actually, and the hard step is that final moment that Arteta was talking about, where you have to trust that your knee can take the strain of an intense training session and then a match. Like you, I don't think we'll be seeing a great deal of him, especially like given the Chelsea match being taken off the fixture list. I feel like it'll be under 21s for a while. Maybe they try and do something during the international break. Then, like, they might have more players back than we think. To build up his strength, his confidence, so that he's able to make contributions in April and May, because it would be anything from him this season would be a great bonus that we really didn't expect, and Arsenal didn't really expect in August, on those really sort of sad days after the Forest game.
Yeah, exactly. I've said it exactly the same as that for a long time. I just think it is anything we get out of Timber this season's a bonus. It really is. But it does look, and it is promising, it does look like we will get something out of him. And like you said, there's so many games to come in April, especially with that Chelsea game to be rearranged. He could still have a big part to play in this season, even if it is just the odd minute here and there off the bench. So
can I do a very quick moan on the Chelsea game and the stupidity of the fixture list? I was listening to stuff at at the FT Football Business Summit, and there was all this talk about, is the fixture list too heavy, or the demand? And I was thinking, you know, if you're Arsenal, you've you go through January to March, you've hardly played any football. And then you get into April, like you've got the fixture list up there, Charles. It's no free midweeks. I know that the fixture list is sacrosanct and that managers plan way in advance, but several teams, including Arsenal, have had games scheduled for the 16th of March cancelled. All power to Chelsea. Congratulations, you actually managed to beat a football team. The sort of failure of imagination to not say, let's pick out, I don't know, I mean, the North London Derby, I know both, but a game where two teams are not in the FA Cup fifth round, whatever it is, the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, not pull one of those games forward. It beggars belief. Like, if there's space to get these games played, get these games played. I know Arsenal will benefit from the break as well, I'm sure. But I think if you gave Mikel Arteta the option, I think he'd be delighted to get another game, a Brighton away or a Luton or whatever. Just get it played. It's stupid.
And he was asked about it yesterday and he said, you know, he was very like, oh, look, it is what it is. We knew that it was an option. Now we'll plan to use that time in the best possible way because that would mean that we'll have a more congested period in April. I mean, it doesn't make too much of a difference, that Chelsea game. It's like one game. It gives them an extra about 3 or 4 days off, doesn't it? Because then it goes straight into the international break.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, that Wolves game on the 20th of April is FA Cup semi-final weekend, and Wolves have got Coventry in the quarterfinals. So if Wolves win that, which you would expect they will, then that game is going to have to be moved. And that's the fifth last game of the season. And at the moment, the Chelsea game looks like it was going to be after Wolves and before Spurs. So it's going to be on Tuesday or Wednesday before Spurs. And then you would think that Wolves will probably have to go in that penultimate game between Man United and Everton. It might have to be that. Which is going to be very, very interesting indeed. So, it's not ideal. I mean, I suppose, what, Liverpool is still in the FA Cup, Manchester City are still in the FA Cup. Yeah. So they're going to be in the same sort of situation. Their games are going to have to, if they keep going through, their games are going to have to be postponed that are scheduled for those weekends as well. So it is much for muchness. And Liverpool got Europa League Thursday nights to deal with. City, you think, are certainly going to go deep into the Champions League. So it is all, everyone's in the same boat, I suppose. But yeah, it is a bit mad that Arsenal have basically had these huge breaks over the last successive couple of months. And now suddenly you're looking at an April where you're like, how on earth do we play all our games? It's just, it does feel a bit mad. I just wanted to talk about Gabriel Jesus, who is back and will be involved on Monday night. Now, I was talking yesterday in my show and I said, without a shadow of a doubt, when he's fit, Gabriel Jesus is Arsenal's best striker. Mm-hmm. And a couple of people here, or certainly Eco Bay Guesthouse 5971. That's a nice plug. If that is indeed your guesthouse, I'm sure it sounds lovely. It says, I think there is a hell of a lot of doubt on whether Jesus is our best striker. He has been outscored now for the second season in a row. Availability, attendance is an important part of any organisation. Trossard and Ketia and Havertz both have strong arguments that they should have the main spot. And then KB is on, says, hi, Charles. Given the scoring success of our mobile false nine style of play, is Gabriel Jesus now our plan B? Which I thought is quite an interesting debate. I mean, for me, as I suggested, I think when he's fit and he's right, he's Arsenal's best striker. There's no doubt about it in my mind. He is Arsenal's number nine. He's their best player. The issue is, obviously, he's not been fit enough and he continues, even when he played. Now, I asked Mikel about it yesterday. I was like, is it the fact that you're still managing this knee injury, does that suggest the operation you did in the summer or the surgeons did in the summer to try and resolve the issue that he was still struggling with post-World Cup didn't work? And he assured me that it wasn't the case and that what they did in that operation did work. And this is a new niggle. So it's like, okay. And I was like, well, are you going to have to probably revisit the operation again this summer because you're still managing the injury basically now between games? And again, he said no, which hopefully will be the case because you don't really want another summer where Jesus has to go under the knife to try and fix this. So he's clearly still playing with this issue and you want him at 100%, but that might not be the case. But even so, I still think he's Arsenal's number nine. Like, I want him to play against Porto in that Champions League game. When Arsenal go to play Manchester City, I would love to have a 100% Gabriel Jesus fit playing in that game for me. I just think he makes Arsenal. I think it's easy to forget how good a player Gabriel Jesus is because of the injuries, because of the frustrations we have over his lack of availability at times. But I still think he's Arsenal's best option as a striker when he's fit. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, looking at that second question there by KB is on, you know, the success of the mobile false nine style. I can't think of many players in the world better to execute that style than to be your mobile false nine than Gabriel Jesus. I think Ikope Guesthouse raises a really important point that availability is an ability. And, you know, ever since this first knee injury over a year ago, Jesus isn't showing that. And it's why the signing of this new striker or new forward this summer feels so important, because Arsenal can't trust in Jesus's availability. But if you could, would you even you'd be looking at a very different profile of striker, and you still might be, because you can't really get many that you can confidently say are better than this guy in full form. It has been a really long time since we've seen that. You have to go back to pre-World Cup, I think, to feel like you're confidently seeing the best of Jesus over a run of games. But that level, like you say, Charles, that level is beyond any other forward in the squad in that central position.
Yeah, and like you said, he does when he plays. He is a false nine base. He's not a normal number nine, is he? He does play that false nine role. So, and I still think he's a fabulous player, Gabriel Jesus. I think he's still got lots to offer. Did you see David Ornstein yesterday? He was doing his Q&A on The Athletic, and he was talking about striker targets, and he mentioned it's Sesko, isn't it? Benjamin Sesko. Mm. Have you seen much of him?
Yeah, I've seen a bit. I've enjoyed my Bundesliga this season. Mm. He seems raw. Like, given the opportunity, I think you would kind of want to give him... I mean, he's a real talent, great explosiveness, good finisher. I think you'd want to give him a bit of time to develop in the Bundesliga before diving into him, but maybe you can't. It's such a strange striker market. Like, the ones I really like, Ferguson as well.
Yeah, David mentioned, said there was interest there. A lot of money, though, Ferguson.
A lot of money for a punt, isn't it? You're
talking £100 million.
Even the ones that are more established, Osimhen, I mean, let's set aside Osimhen, because it's a sort of different financial level. But, you know, your Boniface is... Who else is...
It's Jokeres, isn't there?
Jokeres. They're just not... None of them have, like, four seasons of elite level production. Or if they do, like, Jokeres is in the Championship. So it just doesn't feel like there's a can't-miss guy, which is why it's so important that you get Jesus right, so that if you take that gamble and it's not quite perfect, you'd still have a number nine. And if that means putting Jesus under the knife, which evidently Arteta says it isn't, but you got to do it.
Yeah. I think when you look at the number nines in the summer, the two sort of ready-made ones, obviously, are Osimhen and Tony, who, that, you know, kind of experienced top-level strikers who are ready to go. You know, whether Arsenal go there, I don't know. I have a feeling they wouldn't. I think they would go for that more sort of that next level below, where it's a bit of a work in progress type thing. It tends to be the type of player. I suppose they didn't with Declan Rice. They went big on Declan Rice, who was sort of tried and tested. So they might do that with a striker again. But Jokeres is an interesting one. Lots of people have been in my comments over the last couple of weeks or so, keep bringing him up. He's got this release clause. He scored a lovely goal. I did watch a bit of the game against Benfica yesterday. I was watching the highlights of it. He scored a lovely goal for Sporting yesterday. His numbers are ridiculous this season. And I didn't really know anything about him until I watched Coventry last season. At the end of the... Were they in the playoffs, Coventry?
They got to the playoff final, didn't they?
Yeah, they got to the final, didn't they? Yeah. And I saw him in that, and they were all talking about him and saying he was probably going to go at the end of this, whatever happened. If they didn't go up, he'd go. And then he's obviously done amazing things in Portugal. And he does have all the attributes to be a top, top striker. And I was really impressed with his goal yesterday, the strength he showed, and his numbers are impressive. So, yeah, he's certainly one to watch. And David did mention him in his Q&A yesterday as well. I think he's got a release clause of about 80 million, I think, something like that.
This is the thing, is it's they're all gambles. I would be willing to spend a bit more for Ferguson. I think I've seen him do it in the Premier League. I don't want to be that guy. I hope people that watch this show regularly know I'm not necessarily that guy. But I don't know. I'm skeptical about Portugal and the championship. But like Ferguson, you'd be paying 100 million for a guy that doesn't get in the team always ahead of Danny Welbeck. So it's really hard at the moment. Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for a striker from Brighton, João Pedro. João Pedro's keeping Ferguson out of the team a lot and scoring a lot more goals than Ferguson. So why is he not the name that's being mentioned rather than Evan Ferguson? I don't know. And he looks, I really like João Pedro whenever I see him play. I liked him at Watford and I like him at Brentford. So it's an interesting one. Look, before we go, I just want to bring up this question, though. It's from Sean. Says, hi, Charles. Do you have any update on Ben White's contract? Feels like ages ago we heard he was being offered a new deal, but seems to have gone quiet. Should we be worried or is it just a matter of announcement? Well, I'll just point you towards the interview you did with Sky Sports yesterday at the training ground just before Mikel Arteta's press conference. The sort of headline quote is above in their tweet where he just says, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And he went on to talk a little bit more in true Ben White fashion to sort of add to that. And I think when you say, should we be worried? I'd just point you to that that quote. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And no, I think it's only a matter of time before that contract.
It looks like a man that would want to be anywhere else.
I was speaking about that yesterday at Colney, and there was a picture that came up, and it was just basically exactly the same as this picture. I thought that it's just so classic Ben White of like, I do not want to be talking to you. Go away. I want to go back and just play football, train. I don't want to be sat in front of the media. But that's why
England squad scene.
That's why. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Wouldn't hold out too many hopes, but we'll wait and see. Certainly should be in it. Of course he should. But yeah, we all know it's not just about football when it comes to that. But yeah, I wouldn't be worried at all, Sean. I'm very, very confident that an announcement for Ben White will not be too far away. Right, that's about it, James. I think anything else you want to talk about before we call time on this one this week?
No, not really. Have you watched Air, the film? Recommend that. Top tip for our viewers. Watch Air. It's
the Michael Jordan one with
the Michael Jordan.
No. Yeah, I have watched it. Very good. Yeah.
It's very good, isn't it? It's quite weird. It's sort of the plucky underdog story of whether a trainer company will convince a man to wear some trainers.
Yeah.
Quite enjoyed that. That's been my week, really.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I watched that a while ago. Yeah, no, it is. That was good. Very good. You finished Slow Horses yet?
Oh, yes. December feels a lifetime away, but that is just sensational television. I'm head over heels. It's Gary Oldman, the best I've ever seen him. And yeah, I'm a huge Gary Oldman fan.
He is unbelievably good in it, isn't he? Absolutely unbelievable. Can't wait for new series. Cannot wait for new series.
Just started Chernobyl. Again, we're quite late to some of these things.
You are late to these.
Very late to Chernobyl. It's quite hard to convince. Hannah works very long hours. And it's quite hard when she gets back to sort of say, hey, do you want to watch something about nuclear disasters? She's generally like, no, I'd quite like to watch Love is Blind.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Michelle always falls asleep. We start trying to watch her series and I'll sort of turn to her and she'll be asleep. No, and it's like, are we ever going to actually get through this? We watched, what was that one? It was something called like One Day, I think it is, on Netflix.
Oh yeah, One Day on Netflix.
Yeah, which was actually really good. I looked at it, I was like, am I going to like this? But I actually did really enjoy it. I thought it was quite good. Yeah, it was a good idea.
I encouraged Hannah to watch that without me, so I don't think I will be watching that.
Cool. All right. I wasn't expecting to turn into a TV debate when I asked, is there anything else you wanted to talk about before the end? But
we better get going, hadn't we?
We better get going. I better get this one out. Thank you very much, everyone, for watching and listening. As always, myself and James will be back next week on one of the days. What's going on next week? Is there a midweek game next week?
Yeah, it's Champions League's back.
Oh, yeah. Not for Arsenal. Of course, it's the first week. Yeah, of course. So, we'll probably do Thursday, I imagine, won't we, next week? For that, looking ahead to Brentford. So, and between now and then, obviously, I'll be doing my usual daily show. So keep your eyes peeled for that, whether it be on here on YouTube or on podcast. Until then, mate, thank you for joining me. I hope you feel better. Have a good weekend. I'll catch up with you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/ upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.